Wonderful singing, and I am so grateful for you joining us online today. If this is a blessing to you, we really want to encourage you to share this so it can be a blessing to others. Church family and friends, I want you to know that you're seen, valued, heard, and loved this morning. There is a wonderful, wonderful text in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that I want to invite you to turn to. And I'll meet you there in just a moment. Today, it is evident more than any other time in our land that there is a spirit that hovers over every heart and every home on earth. Sometimes it's expressed through sweaty palms. In a moment, it can tie your stomach up in knots. At other times, it can shove a lump into your throat. It can cause your blood pressure to shoot up like a rocket and your courage to drop like a rock. If the shock is so severe, blood can be cut off almost completely from the brain momentarily, causing a person even to faint. In other cases, it can cause the blood to flow from the extremities to be hindered so that a person can actually get cold feet. This mysterious monster can even prove to be fatal at times. Medical science has proven that it can cause the cardiovascular muscles to react in such a way to result in heart failure, meaning that someone can actually be scared to death. What is this silent, unseen, deadly enemy that plays no favorites and gives no mercy? This sinister minister's name is fear. Over these next few weeks, I want to take us through a journey and look at several emotions that we may be facing in our day right now and ask God to give us a grip on our heart and our mind. Just a few days ago on Thursday, the President of the United States met with governors from all over America. And one of the governors said this: fear is more dangerous than the coronavirus. He went on to say this: that fear is even more contagious right now in our land than this virus. I happen to agree with that governor who shared that. As we push into the emotion of fear today, I want you to know, and I wholly submit to you this morning, that there is a healthy fear. There is a fear that every single one of us ought to have. In fact, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's a good fear. That's a healthy fear to have. We should fear the Lord. I mean, we shouldn't fear the one that could just kill the body. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says that we are to fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. There is a healthy, reverential, and awestruck fear. There's a fear of God that every single one of us ought to possess. But there's also a harmful fear that can cause us, particularly in these days, to be timid, to be cautious, better yet, to be cowardice. We should be at 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we find these words beginning in verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, Paul didn't understand the social distancing thing, but we'll just move on past that as he continues to say, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Allow me just to set the table for us this morning together. Our context begins with that first word, therefore. In verse 6, you find the word therefore. What we need to understand is the Apostle Paul is writing a deeply personal letter to one that he calls his son in the faith. If you read earlier, he calls him his beloved son in verse 2. He loves this young Timothy. It's a mentor writing to a mentee. It's deeply personal in the fact that Paul is writing this letter to his beloved son in the faith, Timothy, from prison. And as he writes this letter, he understands this relationship with Timothy, and you can see it in verse 3. He thanks God as he remembers Timothy. You see it in verse 3. I remember you in my prayers day and night. You see it in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy. But now he turns in verse 6 and he says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. To stir up the gift of God. Now, here is the good news. God has given him a gift. I like the way that the English version, the English Standard Version translated, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. If you look back to the first letter of Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, Timothy is receiving this instruction from the Apostle Paul. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, which on the laying on of hands of the eldership. Paul reflects back on the day that you were ordained, Timothy. Don't forget this gift that was given to you, empowered to you by the Holy Spirit of God. But here's the bad news. Timothy needed to be stirred up. The bad news is Timothy needed to fan the flame once again because his nature was to be timid. That phrase, stirred up, was used to describe the stoking of a fire in the flame that has settled down and was no longer giving off the heat that it once did. You know what he did. He took that poker and he began to stoke that fire to reignite that flames. Can I ask you this morning? As you're tuned in, as you're online with us, can I just ask you to look deep within your soul and ask this, do I need stoked? Is God giving you right now the prod through his Spirit, stoking that flame within you once again? Does your fire need fanned once again? What gifts has the Holy Spirit of God given you to use during these days? You see, if we're not careful, that fear can turn into the neglect of the spiritual gift that God has given it. Could it be that God is stirring his children from all over the earth right now during this trial in tribulation to fan the flame once again, to stir up the gift that is within you? God does use times like this to stir that gift up. Not to be fearful, not to be cowardice, not to be timid. But Timothy has grown timid. In verse 7, you see, and you can almost hear the emotion from his mentor, the Apostle Paul, as he writes these words, Timothy, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. God hasn't given you that spirit. So where does the spirit come from? That spirit of fear comes from the enemy. That spirit of fear comes from the one who wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you. Now, I submit to you, there are real reasons to be afraid. I heard about a little child who was with his mother right before he was going to bed. Some bad storms had come, and that child asked for his mom just to sleep with him that night. And as she was tucking him in, she said, honey, I can't be with you tonight. I have to go be with your daddy in bed. As she began to just leave the door, that little boy said, that daddy, he's such a sissy. Can I tell you this? Can I confess this to you? I'm a sissy in a lot of ways. Here's one, for instance. I'm terrified of snakes. I mean, I hate green snakes, I hate black snakes, I hate red snakes. In fact, the only good snake is a dead snake. You got it right. I hate snakes. I don't even like rubber snakes, to be honest with you. I don't like any kind of snake. It's really a true phobia. In fact, this past week, you may not know this, but there are over 700 phobias that we are afraid of. I mean, we are a terrified people. There's acrophobia, that's the fear of planes and heights. There's claustrophobia, we are scared of enclosed places. There's even the fear of getting older. I heard about an older man who wanted to look younger, so he put braces on his teeth. I mean, there is even the phobia of phobia, where we are scared of fear. We have a fear of fear. I was reading this past week that the second greatest fear in those phobias is death. The number one greatest fear of all the fears is doing what I'm doing right now, public speaking. Often when I'm doing a eulogy, I sit out and I look at these people and I think to myself, they're grieving here, but they would rather be the one in the casket than the one delivering the eulogy. We have a fear of fear. We have a fear of public speaking. We have a fear. Dear friends, I submit to you, we all have fears. Students have fears of exams. Businessmen and women have fears of the market. But how do you know if you have a fear? Let me give you several suggestions. One is the loss of self-control. Emotionally, do you have unexpected anxiety? Blood pressure may be an indicator. A trouble sleeping may be linked to fearful minds, obsessing over the news. Or if you are a believer wearing a tinfoil hat, obsessing over end times charts, dear friends, you may even be a fearful one today. But in our letter we're studying today, young Timothy has become cowardice, timid, fearful, neglecting his gift. But sometimes it takes a mentor in our lives to remind us of the truth of God's word. God has not given you that spirit of fear. God, empowered through the Holy Spirit of God, has given you the fruit of the Spirit: love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Understand this, dear friend. The fruit of the Spirit is under attack by the spirit of fear. You and I are engaged in a war. Spiritually speaking, you and I are engaged in a war. But God has equipped you to overcome fear. He's equipped you with a foolproof key that can unlock the iron gates of fear and free us from its prison forever. God has given you and I three weapons that we now have to slay this sinister minister, to slay this monster and conquer it forever. The Apostle Paul describes these three weapons produced by the Holy Spirit of God in the man, the woman who yields under his control. And the first weapon is right here in verse 7. He says, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power." Dynamis. What is this power? This power doesn't buzz. It doesn't explode with noise. It doesn't hum. This power doesn't need any props. This power doesn't even need any coffee to get it going in the morning. This power does not need a happy hour to grant courage. This power is not dependent on our persuasiveness. This power that we have as a weapon is from God and available to every believer through the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is our power in our lives, and within every believer, He never runs out of dynamic power. Listen to me this morning. You may be fearful, but the Holy Spirit of God is bold in you. Our competence may have fallen, but the Spirit of God never fails. We may lack confidence, but the Spirit of God never disappoints and never suffers uncertainty. You have resurrection power living inside of you. Listen to the beloved, the Apostle John, right from 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. "You are of God, little children. You have overcome them because He is in you, greater than he who is in the world. He purchased us. He bought us. He redeemed us. He guides us. He protects us. He saves us." You see, the only fear, it is only the fear of God that will ultimately deliver us from the fear of man. We not only have the power to fight fear, but our second weapon is love. It's the love of God to face fear. It's the love of God to face fear. "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of agape and of love." The word translated love means it's love at its highest and greatest good for another. It means it flows deeply from the throne room of God. The Apostle Paul is reminding young Timothy, you are loved by God, Timothy. Can I remind you of this if you are a fearful person this morning? If your heart is stricken by fear, you are loved by God. I'm so glad our Father in heaven tells us of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. Though I forget him and I wander away, still he does love me no matter where I stray. Back to his loving arms I would flee when I remember that it's Jesus who loves even me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves even me. But he loves you as well. He loves you. For God so loved the world. He loves you. Can I say this to those in our community? If you're in need, I want you to know God loves you and your church family loves you and your church family stands beside you and wants to support you in any way, shape, or form. And don't you hesitate to reach out to us and how we can minister to you. We're waiting on your call to serve you. We're waiting on your call to minister to you because, dear friends, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts and we want to love you in a very practical way to demonstrate that God is near to those who are broken-hearted. I know that they're working on the cure. You know that they're working on the cure for the coronavirus. But we both know, too, that the only cure for our sin infection is found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We can't control what's going on out there, but we do have jurisdiction within our hearts. God is good, and the future is secure after the grave because Christ is risen from the grave. Oh, I'm so grateful for Psalm 23 in our Bibles. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Surely, dear friends, listen to me, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Dear friends, our weapons are power and our weapons are love. And lastly, our weapon is a sound mind. As I looked at the original language word and the Greek language, which we translate into English, what I found was this. It means to be free from all excitement. One of the weapons the Holy Spirit of God has given to you and I is to be free from all of the excitement that we see in the news or we read in the papers. It is a rational, it is a reasonable, it is a sound-minded manner of thinking and behaving of believers that reflect the orderly mind of God. It means that you're striving to see the world and circumstances through his perspective. But how do we see things through his perspective? Allow me just to push in right here to your soul and just give you a really practical advice of how we can have sound mind through these days, how we can overcome our fears so our fears don't overcome us. First thing I want to give you about sound mindness is this: admit our fears. You and I have to admit our fears, and then we have to run them down armed with the truth of Scripture. I'm asking you to acknowledge your fears. Write them down. Put them on a piece of paper. Observe them. Look at them. One of the things I did this past week is I simply just said, I need to turn off the news. What would happen in our lives, in your and I's lives, if we turned off CNN and Fox News and supplemented it with the reading of God's Word? What would take place in our soul? I believe that we need to admit our fears and run them down with the truth of Scripture. Second thing is we need to activate our faith. We're in a bad situation. There's no doubt about it. God is allowing things to be shaken up in this world, and we are told to wash our hands, wash our hands, wash our hands. We are told to wash our hands a lot, but what I'm asking you to do is admit your fears, activate your faith, not only wash your hands, but wash someone else's feet. Wash someone else's feet. Look for ways to be creative, to minister in the name of Jesus Christ, to not neglect the gift that's been given to you by the Holy Spirit of God, to serve even in these days, to be a sacrificial people, not a selfish people, to look for ways to share, to look for ways to wash others' feet. Remember this, we are living proof of a loving God to a watching world. The Lord's impressed on my heart, Psalm 91, verses 1 through 4. Listen to the word of God from Psalm 91, verses 1 through 4. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. No fear, just faith. No panic, just peace. No doubt, just sound mind, sound discipline. No rush, just resting in the promises of God. Today, wherever you may be, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord, why not right now? Why let fear rule and reign in your heart any longer? Because a perfect love casts out fear. I want to take just a few minutes and pastor you, if I may. If you've never come to the place to understand that you have a sin debt, you do. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Every single one of us have a sin debt. This is why Jesus pressed in John chapter 3, verse 3, and said that you must be born again. There's no way that you and I can begin to even think about paying back this debt. Because of that sin, because of that debt, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. There is going to come a day where you and I will perish. But here's the good news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, God demonstrated his love for us that yet while we're sinners, Christ died for us. So how can you know that your sin debt is paid for? How can you know that you're forgiven of your sins, that you're going to escape the wrath of God, that you'll never have to spend eternity in hell? How can you know that? You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Bible tells us, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you need to be saved this morning? Saved from your sin. Saved from yourself. Saved from an eternity in hell. Saved from the future wrath of God. I urge you this morning, I beg of you this morning to receive him today, to receive him now, to take him now as your Lord. It's not about praying a perfect prayer. The good news is it's about praying to a perfect Jesus. It's about surrender. It's about turning away from your sins and turning to Jesus. But maybe you're like me and you didn't grow up talking to God. You actually have no idea to even begin the conversation with God. I resonate with that. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I understand where you are. And so I just simply want to aid you in understanding what is happening in your soul right now. If you, sir, if you, ma'am, would like to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, allow him to be Lord over your soul, your heart, your mind. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes with me? Right now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ at this very moment, what I'm asking you to do is intercede with me. Pray with me for those right now who want to ask Jesus to forgive them of their sin, to save them. Would you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, intercede for those right now who want to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved? Let's bow together. Let's close our eyes. If the words that I'm using express your heart's desire to be saved from sin, death, hell, and the future wrath of God, would you just simply this morning cry out to Him, Lord Jesus, I know that I've offended you by my sin. I need your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins. And you took my place on the cross. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Save me from all my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me, dying for me, and saving me. I trust you and you alone to be my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen and amen.